Değerli Father, thank you for another day in your mercy and in your grace. Another day that we get to live out your plan for our lives. Another day that we get a chance to be a part of your glory and your redemption. And Lord, right now I pray that you move me out of the way, that you come in by and you take over and you say what you want to say that morning. Give me clarity, open the ears, and let your power dwell in that place. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, as a disabled person, I have a lot of people come to my house during the month. Some come to work on my wheelchair because I drive it crazy and I break it a lot. And some people come just to check up on me, make sure I got what I need, the social worker and counselor. And when they come, they're always late. I mean, like, really late. I'm not talking about 15 minutes late. I'm talking about hours late. I mean, like, 4 and 5 hours late. No joke. They be that late. And sometimes I call them and I say, we can make another appointment, but I gotta go. And they say, you got something to do? I'm like, yeah. What did you expect? And then they ripped me because that's my question. What did you expect? Of course, I had something to do. I want to read the read with me Luke chapter 23:1. But the third day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb bringing spices what they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men appeared there in dazzling clothes. And as the woman were terrified and bewildered, they faced to the ground. The man said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he spoke to you still in Galilee. And the first thing I want to remind you of, Jesus said very early on that he would be about his Father's business. But now, men and our people are there in the tomb, and they're saying, what is it? And they say, now, I want to get that right. Note that they were asking, why do you seek the living amongst the dead? They were honest. They would say, based on his circumstances, based on what we've seen him go through, based on his circumstances, he should be here in the grave. And I think a lot of times we look for people to be in place, certain places according to their circumstances. You hear me? We look for people to be in certain places according to their circumstances. The reason why there are people in Outward Lake coming to me, because they don't expect me to be out living my life. They are looking at my circumstances and saying, of course, he will be there whenever I get there. No. They ain't gonna see a little bit, but some people never had to be reported. Some people never had to worry about being reported as lost, because they will always find you buried by your circumstances. Whatever your circumstance is, that was you. But I want to tell you that more, that don't have to be the case. That you don't have to be whatever your circumstance is. You can rise above your circumstances. Now that's a good message for the avid preacher. But for me to come here, in my situation, in my predicament, and tell you, you don't have to live up underneath your circumstances. There might be some truth, because I cannot say that based on religion. I cannot say that based on rules. I say that after 45 years of being in a wheelchair. I say that after 45 years of going through seizures, up and down, life is hard. I'm here to testify. You don't have to live up underneath your circumstances. You can rise above whatever circumstances you are finding yourself in. How do you do that? And that's what I want to share with you. I want to share with you three things that I use to get me up in the morning and get me out of my circumstances. I knew that was going to happen. Thank you, buddy. I knew you were good for something.
I'll get you later.
I didn't know what, but now I know. But the first thing I want to talk to you about is coming out of your mindset. See, we have a certain mindset that we get into, and that mindset drags us down and keeps us from really living the life that God has for us. In Philippians, Philippians 4, verse 8, it says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is loving, whatever is good or report, if there is anything excellent, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. Think about these things. Now, I want to be good level honest. I don't wake up every day and think about what I can't do. I don't wake up every day and spend my whole day dwelling on the fact that I can't walk. What good is that doing me? I'm spending my time dwelling on things that I cannot do. I wrote it in my notes, and I'm going to be looking at my notes a lot. I not only praise him for delivering me from the thing that he delivered me from, I also praise him for saving me from the things that I never seen. You see, my situation may be difficult, but I never been homeless. I never knew what it like to have an addiction. I never knew what it like to be completely broke. Yeah, my bank account get a little low, and sometimes it falls below. But we live in America. We never really know what it's like to be absolutely broke. I think about that. I praise him for all of that. I don't have time to praise him for what I don't have when there's so much I do have. And I think sometimes we gotta think about what we're thinking about. I'm gonna repeat that. Sometimes you gotta think about what you're thinking about. Because here's the truth. You ready for this? You can write it down and take it to the bank and you can catch what you think about. What is it sustain you or destroy you? What you think about every day will sustain you or destroy you? I'm giving you time to take that in. I'm giving you time to ask yourself, what was I so down about all week? Let me catch up with my notes. Yeah, I say in my note that I never completely know what it like to have a mental illness. I say completely know what it like. Because the truth of it is, we all are living on the earth for more than 30 years, you get PTSD. You get things that really get to you, affect you mentally and I'm not. But I got good news. What we see on TV, all the bad and negativity we see, forget as much bad in the world that good in the world. There are good people in the world going and doing some amazing things in the world. God is touching hearts and changing lives, and babies are being born, and we focus on what we see on Fox TV, not what we see God doing every day in our lives. Moving on, let me tell you, I'm a new. Oh, I talk about in my notes. Every now and then I call my best friend, Jonathan. Jonathan is my best friend. And I call him and say, hey, how you doing? And Jonathan always say about 98% of the time, oh, brother, I'm blessed, highly favored. And he said that, and he means it. But not because his life is perfect. And because he chose to concentrate on the fact that he had a good marriage, a good job, a good home. He can come up with all the other things that went wrong, but he chose to concentrate on the thing that's going right in his life. Believe me, this is an error. Believe me, I know that life can be hard and leave a lot on our minds. What you think about will destroy you as a thing. The next thing I want to do is, you must be kingdom minded. And you got to bear with me because I got that black preacher voice that's coming up in my soul, but you got to be kingdom minded. In John chapter 7, no, John chapter 5, verse 1 through 7, a sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the pool of Siloam when the water is dry. But while I am coming, others step down before me." Jesus said to them, "Get up, pick up your pallet and walk." Immediately, he became well, and he picked up his pallet and walked. Now let me give you a background. This guy was sitting on a pallet for 38 years trying to get into the pool of Siloam. He could not make it there. And suddenly Jesus shows up. He tells Jesus, and Jesus said, "Pick up your pallet and walk." After all these years, that all you gonna say is, "Pick up your pallet and walk"? I wonder something. I'm wondering, after all those 38 years, how many of those years he was laying on my back, already healed, already set free, already forgiven. How much time he spent waiting on God to do something that God had already done in his life. I wonder how much time we've been asking God to do something that he already done. Now, I don't believe in prosperity preaching, but I do believe that the power of the tongue will is life or death. I wonder how much time we've been dwelling on things that God has already done. God said that in his word that I audit your footsteps. That means I've always determined where I'm going to take you in this life. Perhaps God has already fixed our problem. But perhaps that God has already planned our way of escaping this situation. Perhaps God has already worked it out and he's just waiting for you to catch up with what he's doing in your life. Come on. That don't excite nobody. That excites me to know that right here in my situation, God has already planned my way of escape. He already set forth my future. I don't have to worry about my current situation. We listen to this. We cannot focus on physical circumstances that we, we cannot be so focused on our physical circumstances that we can't see what God has already done, what God is doing, and what God will do. I think we get so focused on the here and now on earth that we can't see in the spiritual realm that God has worked it out to our advantage. The last thing I want to say is take ownership of your joy. Take ownership of your joy. Psalm 35 says, "For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may endure for a night, but the joy coming in the morning." I want to tell you something. Most people really don't understand what joy is, but I believe that I got the real definition of joy. See, joy is not a earthly emotion. It is a spiritual celebration. I'm going to repeat that because that deep joy is not an earthly emotion. It's a spiritual celebration. I celebrate the fact that he, paid a debt that he didn't owe. You hear me? When I get down, when I get depressed, when I think it on my mind, I celebrate the fact that he paid a debt that he didn't owe. Because I'm the blood of Jesus Christ, I am saved, I'm washed, I'm clean, I'm set free, and no matter what's going on in the here and now, that's something I celebrate because it's a gift from God. You know, you think about the two thieves that were on the cross, and in the middle of their misery, of all the things that God could have told them, God said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. This is not it. What you experience is only temporary. I'm going to prepare paradise for you. I'm going to prepare a place where you won't be in the circumstances that you find yourself in. There comes a time, whether you believe it or not, there comes a time that this life will be over. This, what you see that I'm dealing with, the hand moving and the voice trembling, can't move quite right and in a wheelchair, I'm okay with that because it only temporarily. It comes a time where this spirit will be clear in the air with Jesus. And in that moment, I'm going to be okay. It won't matter what type of suffering I dealt with the last 8 years I'm down on earth, because now I'm set free. And I don't know. I'm okay with the idea of the third time I walk, I will be walking on streets of gold. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with the first time I stand, I will be standing before my Lord Jesus Christ. I'm okay with that. I celebrate the fact that his amazing grace have set me free. That's something for me to get excited about, because I made mistakes. I'm not perfect. I deserve hell. But his amazing grace has set me free. I'm celebrating that morning. It was, I'm almost done, but I'm going to give it to you. I'm turning it over. Thank you, Bobby. Oh, well. I'll be lying. I saw about the fact that my situation and my circumstances are only temporary. Nothing on earth can change that. You hear me? My situation is only temporary, and nothing on earth can change that. The truth is, he has gone to provide a place for me. He has gone that I may know what it's like to live in paradise. And I don't care what Donald Trump said, I don't care what the news say, I don't care what this person say about people of the LGBT community. It doesn't matter. It doesn't change the fact that he has gone to provide a place for me. That's something to celebrate. I wake up sometime in the middle of difficult situations. Wake up from a seizure, wake up in pain, wake up not knowing how I'm going to pay my bills. And you know what I celebrate in that moment? I celebrate the fact that one day I'm going to wake up surrounded by His glory. No matter what I'm surrounded with today, one day I'm going to wake up surrounded by His glory. That's something to celebrate. So, I'm going to close on this. I'm going to try not to get too excited, but I'm celebrating in my heart. When I get my mind right about today, when I start to think on good things and on heaven, when I really tap into my joy, you know what happens? I start to sit up a little bit tall. My smile gets a little bit brighter. Give me a moment. Give me a moment. My eyes, if you really pay attention, my eyes start to twinkle a little bit. And if you know me, you know that at that moment, Chris is totally content with who he is. I start to worship, and my soul want to jump out of their bed and sing hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, you are worthy of my praise. That's what happened when I really started to think about what it's like to know that my family is not over, that my Savior, my Redeemer is alive, and He will, and He's going to provide a break for me. But yet, we sit here like defeated Christians in the middle of our circumstances. Life is so awful. Blah, blah, blah. People, you're concentrating on the wrong thing. You never know joy. I know joy. I'll be concentrating on the here and now. I'll be concentrating on what Donald Trump is doing more than what Jesus is doing. I was talking about in my notes. In that moment, He can report me to the lost and found because I'm not here sometimes. Sometimes I get to concentrate somewhere on the worship and what God is doing in my life that I'm gone. I'm in another realm. My body is here, but I am gone up there. My chain is broken, and in that moment, I am set free. I remember my mom, she used to be in the kitchen. And Laura, I used to come to meet it. I remember my mom being in the kitchen, and while she was in the kitchen cooking, she would start to sing a song. And I don't know that. And the song would be like, "One day you will look for me, and I will be gone." And she was saying that while she was in the kitchen cooking, saying, "One day you look for me, and I'll be gone. I will be gone to heaven, screaming and shouting, and no one there can put me out." And I'm watching her sing this song while she's cooking. And I'm going to tell you, she was cooking, but she wasn't in the kitchen. She was gone. She was in a different realm. She got caught up in her imagination of what heaven would be like. That she was no longer in that kitchen with me. Let me ask you something. When the last time you imagined? When the last time you really thought about what it would be like? When you wake up on the other side?